You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Well, you're listening to William Hill's Racing Radio. My name's John Gibby. Delighted to be joined by Andrew Thornton, William Hill's very own. And have a little bit of a chat about your return to the saddle, Andrew. You know, recently you have, after a fair layoff, come back to race riding. Has it been a difficult road to come back to race riding again?
It's been tricky in the fact of the injuries I incurred. But was going back to Boxing Day at Wincanton, having finished on such a high, riding two winners on the day and getting to the 1,000, which was a career high milestone. That's what I've been sort of gearing towards for the last three or four seasons, and to eventually get there, and the jubilation to be taken over by the pain of getting off the horse, injuring the knee, and then having an operation 3 days later. Trying to come back from that and put in a lot of work at Jatbury House in Malton, thinking that within 3 weeks I'm going to be back in the saddle and what have you, and then seeing another specialist who then told me that I'm going to need an AC or reconstruction, and you're going to be out for the best part of, between 6 and 9 months. And in the end, it ended up being 10 months because I had to have another operation in July, and there was an awful lot of work went into it, and it was... It was hard in that respect that you're thinking, where is the light at the end of the tunnel? You know, people are sort of saying, when I got to 1,000, that I'll be retiring on the back of that. But as I explained to friends, family, and a lot of other people, that how do you expect me to get to 1,000, which is a career high milestone, and retire on the same day? You know, you've got the jubilation of one, and then the thought of you've done this for 25 years and suddenly you're going to end it. And in my own heart of hearts, that was never going to be the case.
Because some jockeys, you hear about them retiring from the saddle, and it seems that they sort of think the time is right. You know, they might not be quick to jump off and say, that's my lot, I'm done. But they sort of have a feeling that's enough for them. But whereas with other riders, you know, I notice the same for Sir Anthony McCoy when he quit the saddle. You know, it's just the worst thought to them.
Well, it's everybody does it differently, I think. I think AP was at the stage where he knew that he wanted to retire as champion, unbeaten, 20 times champion jockey. He didn't want to get to a stage where that wasn't going to happen, and he was able to plan it. And he came out with a statement at Newbury in about February time and said he was going to retire sometime before the end of the season. So he left that little gap open that if he'd won the national, that would be it. Mm. You know, finishing on that, how could you beat that? That didn't quite happen. Going to two out, he thought he was going to win the national. By the time he got to the last, he knew he wasn't. So on the flip side of having the disappointment of not winning the national, he also had the positive that he was still going to ride for another fortnight. So from my point of view, I'd like to pick the day which suits me. Whereas some jockeys will get to the stage where they think, well, they'll just get out of bed one morning and think, do you know what, I've had enough. I'm sick of the falls, I'm sick of the driving. I'm not at that stage where I'm sick of riding. I love riding. I'm not getting as many rides now. You know, the quality isn't as good, but I still really enjoy it. I still have a really good input into Seamus Mullins' yard who I ride for, which it's a team effort. You know, you get the sense of the team, and everybody thinks that riding is all about yourself, and it's a very selfish sport, but it's been involved with the stables, with the lads, with the horses. It is very much a team effort, because you can't do it without the horse, the owner, the trainer. You're only a small cog in the wheel, so I still really enjoy that part of things.
Do you think that when the time does come, I know you said that you don't know when that's going to be, you don't want to set a marker on it just yet, but when the time does come, do you think it will be the case that it's a sort of a bit of a surprise announcement and you sort of reveal very, very short to the time, or do you think you might give it a bit of a longer time scale so we know in advance when we're going to do the last of you?
I've come out already and said that I'm putting no pressure on myself and picking a date when it's going to be. I'm sure there'll be a time a little bit further down the line where I'll think, do you know what? The last thing I want to do is, it's a bit like, I don't want to outstay my welcome. You know, I've been in the weighing room for 25 years now, and I'm on the end peg in the weighing room. So the next peg there isn't one. It's the door.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm there, and it's funny that a lot of the lads going back a few years are saying, oh, when are you going to hang up the boots and what have you? Whereas now, they're a little bit more senior in years as well, and they're thinking, oh, when he does go, I'm going to move up the peg a bit further, and I'm going to get a little bit closer to that door. So I think that every jockey in there, when you get to a little bit older in life, appreciates what you have in the weighing room and the camaraderie that goes on. And it is like a family in there. You know, what's talked about in there stays in there. And it is a little bit, but it's very much of a cocoon. And you might equate it to football, to cricket, to lots of other sports. But we are all individuals as well. We're all good mates in the... Well, most of us are good mates in the weight room. Yeah, most of us are good mates in there.
You're shedding light on that.
Yeah, not everybody can get on all the time, but yeah. You are generally good mates in the weight room. But once you're out on the track, it is every man for himself. And it's got to be, it's good, it's clean fun. But you can ride tight. You see in the big races especially, you know, like the King George's and the Cheltenham and places like that where there is no quarter given. I've got in my mind of Don Cossack at Kempton when I think it was Paddy Brennan gave Brian Cooper very little daylight down the inside with Don Cossack.
And is that when he claimed the King George?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then afterwards there's people saying, oh, did Brian Cooper give that a great ride? Oh, he didn't give that a great ride, did he? He got hemmed in down the back. But then you've got to take into account then somebody else is travelling a bit better. He's not getting any daylight whatsoever. But that's the art of race riding. It's playing to your strengths and making sure that you're in the right position and you can hinder somebody else by riding cleanly, but you're not out there to give them loads of daylight and give them a freebie.
Well, thinking about sort of the day-to-day riding, now you are back in the saddle. Are you looking ahead to... What's the aim? Do you want to go and land big prizes, or do you want to ride as many winners as you can? Or
gosh, you want to ride big prizes. I mean, I've got some chime coming up in the not too distant future who he won a couple of races last year. He was number 999 for me at Wincanton. He's now getting into the stage where he might go to Ascot in a fortnight, or there's a race at Aintree in 3 weeks, so he might go for something like that. There's some nice young horses coming along as well, which have had a sit on round Salisbury Racecourse and they've had a gallop. And there's also some good old favourites. Kentford Myth that was the 1,000th. I rode her the other day for my first ride back, which you'd thought had been planned for an awfully long time, but it just so happened that she was the one that I came back on. So, yeah, you have each individual goals with different sort of horses. You want to ride at the big occasions, at the big meetings, but you also want to ride winners. And my initial goal, which I've got, I'd love to ride 1,003 winners, because Peter Niven, a good mate of mine, rode 1,002. You know, and I keep on saying it's not personal, but it would be just very, very nice to do it.
I'm sure having returned to race riding on 1,000 winners, you should be able to find those three fairly easily.
Well, hey, nothing's ever easy in racing, but what I say, I've got a little boy called Harry and he's only 3.5 and he can't remember the first 1,000.
Yeah.
I just like him to remember me riding a winner, which would be number one, and even better still for him to be there.
Yeah, I remember you saying something similar to that in the Racing Post the other day. Do you think he is one of the main drivers that is keeping you race riding, or is it more for your own personal reasons?
I don't think it wasn't before, but I think it probably is a good driver now that, you know, he's starting to get old enough to know what it's all about, and he can watch on telly. He can watch Daddy going around a big field having a gallop on a horse, you know. And he's got a little pony that he rides at home there and loves it. So, yeah, would I want him to become a jockey? Look, there's a lot of lads would say they're not that keen on their sons becoming jockeys because they know what they put the bodies through. But I'm very much of the opinion he'll make up his own mind. You can't force anything. I've had a great life out of it. I've had, you know, ups and downs, but I think that goes for anything in life. And if he wants to do it, all well and good, but I won't force him to do it.
Yeah. That'll be very interesting to see how that works out. And finally, Andrew, are there any horses in particular this season that you're looking forward to riding?
Yeah, certainly some chime. I'm looking forward to him because he's rising 10 now. He's a 2 mile stroke, probably 2.2, 2.3. When the ground comes really heavy in the depths of winter, he loves it when it gets like that. He stays probably 2 mile 2 very well. And I think he's a horse who could win a big prize somewhere down the line this year.
Brilliant. Well, Andrew, great to see you back in the saddle and to have you here with us at William Hill as well. And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.